Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a Mary, the sweetheart.
Goodness sake, Kith. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a Mary.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
I can't vote for any Democrats because they are left. My faith will not allow me to do that. They are anti-life. I always want life. I don't want babies to be killed. I love the way my president talked about Jesus last night. That blew my mind. When he has his rough edges. He's not a perfect man, and I love the way he expresses himself. He doesn't mind words. He says things the way he loves it. And some people don't like that. But he blew my mind last night, and I was weeping like a baby when he said, Jesus Christ
is the boss.
Is the boss.
Is the boss. Jesus Christ is the boss. This is a voter who happens to be black, who was at one of these events with Donald Trump, and I didn't hear Trump say Jesus Christ is the boss, but that's pretty cool. Must be getting close to the election. I got Chad in here, as we always do. Chad is a producer on 97.1, and we like to have him come in here and just kind of talk about the election, the process that we're going through here in 2020, as we are 15 days away from not voting day, because people are voting right now, but just this election as a whole will end-ish in 15 days, and we will hopefully, gosh, wouldn't it be nice, Chad, if on November 3rd, if we had an answer, if it was 11 p.m. and we had an answer? You don't think it's going to happen?
I don't think it's going to happen, especially because the mail-in ballots.
What's your prediction, Chad? You're paying as close attention to this as any of us here at 97.1. What do you think is going to happen?
Beginning of December, we find out.
Oh, man.
that's like rough ballpark. We'll find out in December, but hopefully middle of November, not the next day like normal.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are worried about that. And I think a lot of people have a lot of trust issues with the people who are handling this election, the balloting. It's so frustrating to me that in October of 2020 and even September and maybe some of August as well, there's so much discussion and challenges and changing of the way that we're voting. And I understand that it's because of COVID, so that poses some sort of additional challenge. You want to make sure that people have the opportunity to vote and that nothing gets in their way. But it's like, could we have thought of this a little bit earlier? Like, why are we discussing this when the court cases that are going to arise out of this are going to be decided after the election happens? Chad, what's your confidence level in our ability as a country to be able to pull this election off?
Well, we have no choice. So, it's going to look rough at the beginning, probably at the end as well, but we got it. We've come this far. We've come through a lot of different different things that were kind of controversial in this country. Honestly, this country lives off controversy, so we'll be all right.
So, Chad, have you been have you followed Ice Cube and his effort here with the contract with Black America and what he has done with it so far?
I was just actually taking a look at it. I'm not really like too up on it because it's like another celebrity is talking about politics. So I'm not trying to like discredit Ice Cube at all, but it's just like Cardi B at this point to me. Like every celebrity has something to say. It's interesting. He's on the other side of what normal Black celebrities are. But I still haven't really paid too much close attention to it.
Yeah. Well, the interesting thing to me, just from an observer standpoint, obviously, is that he's advocating for an outcome, not for a person. And when he's put this contract with Black America together, which is something that I've read the whole thing, and there is way more in it that I disagree with as a solution to some of these problems than I agree with it. But it did give me a really good perspective on what somebody like Ice Cube is trying to get done. And I think it's important to have, you know, educated conversations about this, these kind of topics for somebody like me who I'm not living the life. I mean, Ice Cube's got infinitely more money than I do, infinitely more influence than I do. So to suggest that somehow or another my skin color and his skin color still makes him default, you know, in some cultural importance level below me is ridiculous. And I've always seen that as ridiculous. I don't see skin color as, you know, a precursor to anybody's value. And I hope and I believe that the majority of America feels that way. But if people do feel disenfranchised, and if there are conversations that are taking place regarding that, I want to know what the other side is thinking so that I can be educated on it. And this is ultimately the outcome of Ice Cube taking his contract with Black America to both the Biden campaign and the Trump campaign. And the Trump campaign sat down with him. They said, "We love what you have here. Will you sit down with us and discuss it?" And then the Trump campaign took some of the parts of what Ice Cube put together and put it in the Platinum Plan. And the Platinum Plan is the Trump campaign's effort to try to help with Black America and continue to push them into the game so they have the same opportunities. And the Biden campaign said, "Love what you have, but we'll talk with you about it after the election." Listen to what Ice Cube said about Democrats here.
So, you know, I think the Democrats, you know, they got every Black celebrity on their team, so they just figure, you know, tell Q to shut up and vote. And so I ain't gonna do that. You know, I'm gonna push the program.
So I was really like that, just the way he was handling this seemed in a way to be a little bit different to me than, you know, this suggestion that you might hear from a Cardi B. Katie, you're super more connected to these celebrities and what they're saying and doing, which is the idea that you're just supposed to make a plan to show up and vote for Joe Biden. Like, that's the culmination of where they go. He's doing it from the other end. He's putting together a plan and advocating for a plan and then taking it to whomever can help him exercise his plan and get it off the ground. Regardless of what that plan is, it's refreshing to me that he's taking this kind of approach.
It's honestly refreshing to me as well to see someone that's holding these politicians accountable for their actions, as well as if you want our vote, why should we vote for you guys, and what is going to make us actually believe that you're going to hold up the standard of making it better or making it less strenuous for Black people to get certain things done in this country. Actually, I had a friend that was proposing this same thing, like basically saying that we should all come together as people and basically sell our vote, like basically, because that's what's happening anyway. When you go to these political campaign parties and things like that, that's kind of what's happening. So therefore, looking at the bank lending reforms and things of that nature that is in this contract, I believe that this is a great step. You know, I don't think reparations is going to happen and things of that nature, but more opportunities guaranteed opportunities and things like that has to happen. A lot of people say like, oh, it's not as bad as it seems and things of that nature, but that's outside looking in. You've never been turned down for an apartment, a car, or a home because of the color of your skin. And you can even have better credit, better job than other counterparts that get approved, and you still, and like better payment history and everything, and you still get denied. And at this point you're like, well, what is the point of me being denied? And they have no answer for you. This has happened to me on a couple occasions, but it was like, I'm the type of person that doesn't take no for an answer. So if you can't tell me yes, then you can't tell me no. That's my mindset. So with seeing Ice Cube, a person that makes over $450,000 a year, being realistic about, no, I'm not just going to say I'm going to vote for Biden, because he's literally telling me I'm going to be one of the people that is going to be taxed. And I was just telling a couple small business owners, like, look, you're going to be the most you're making is about $450,000, give or take. So if you want to go up in revenue for your company, how is voting for Biden going to help? And then a lot of people don't have an answer, and they keep on hitting you with that same thing. Anybody but Trump. But so you're saying anybody can destroy your business because you don't like somebody's the way they conduct themselves as a person, and not how they conduct themselves with their policies and how they're actually running the country. And like, it's starting to get annoying to me. Like, they're blaming COVID on Trump so much, they lose the fact that Trump has bettered the economy than the last three presidents that's been in the White House.
Yeah.
So all of these career politicians have literally failed us. And the celebrity politician has done quite more, to me, to benefit this country as anybody has done for a long time.
See, that's what I was going to ask you, Chad. Whenever I saw these clips of Ice Cube talking to Chris Cuomo or just doing an Instagram live or whatever, the hate that he gets from the comments after he posts something like this is unreal to me, because I think that this is an easy answer. Like, this is an easy answer to be like, wow, Ice Cube is doing a really great thing and he's trying to speak for the community and help better it. So why do you think that he is getting so much flack and so much pushback from people on Twitter or people on Facebook? Because to me, this is something that you listen to the way he speaks and you're like, okay, he's trying to make a difference. And he's straight up saying, I don't have a political party. Person that I'm going to go to is the person that's going to help me
that's
out.
That's
going to
actually
this.
Listen.
So why is he getting so much pushback for it? Is it just because he went to Trump?
He's getting pushback because of ignorance. The definition of ignorance is to not know. And a lot of people are going to their favorite CNN host and things like that to kind of cushion what they think they believe in. I was having a conversation with one of my friends' fathers, and he was like, you want to vote for someone that's getting rid of abortion? I said, absolutely. You should hold people more accountable. And that kind of flustered him. And I was like, yeah, I vote for somebody that's going to hold me accountable and not let me have an escape route every time I make a mistake. Like, unplanned pregnancies were... Just wrap
or
it
just,
up.
Or just basically anything that the Democrats are providing is like, well, you can't handle it yourself. Let me handle
and
it.
Exactly. And as a person that is a Christian, quite honestly, nothing that the Democratic Party has to offer aligns with my beliefs. And that's a problem that I have as well. I don't believe in the fact that you can just live free range and do any and everything that you want to do with no consequence. And if the Bible says it's wrong, then I'm here to say that it's wrong too. And I'm not just going to say, well, I want to be free. I want to do any and everything I want to do. And I'm going to go against everything I believe in just to pick a president that doesn't have anything to say, but besides
pandering,
if you're not black, if you don't vote for me, And just like on the town hall, they hammered him about that, but they didn't really show that on CNN. They showed it on Fox a little bit, but they hammered him for that, and to basically saying like, how dare you tell someone who they are because of their political views, and they can see through you. They can, like, I've had so many people tell me that they don't trust Biden at all, and his vice president candidate didn't really make it any better. And the sarcasm, the stares of the deaf stares and all that kind of stuff in a debate just made it like, well, this is exactly, I don't want to be scolded for making a decision. I don't want to be scolded for being able to speak. And as a man, especially a black man, we already don't have that much freedom anyway. So therefore, if you're going to say if a man says something to you, it's mansplaining and things of that nature, and you're not going to talk to me, you're not going to tell me this and that, that's alarming to me. That's alarming to me extremely, because, okay, now men have to be on guard for every and anything that they do, because it's going to be took as, oh, we're demeaning women. In all reality, he was checking her on her lies. He was like, yeah, okay, you say things like you're not going to change things on a Green New Deal, and we look at the website and it literally says it right there. Like, literally. And it's like, okay, now what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to believe what you guys are putting on the, like, putting on your website? Like, this
saying?
Is what you stand for?
Or what you're writing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that kind of keeps me on the edge a little bit.
Laura on our YouTube channel, go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel and subscribe to us there and participate in the chat, says 100% agree with you, Chad. Thank you. With a whole bunch of exclamation points. we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to get more with Chad when we come back. If you have a question that you would like to ask Chad or a comment you want to make on this discussion, you can do that at that YouTube page. Just join the chat there on our live broadcast, and we love to incorporate that into what we're discussing here. Charles on Facebook said, that is not what the stats say. Trump's final numbers match the Great Depression. Here's a question, folks. How stupid do we need to be to think that Donald Trump's efforts on the economy are just what they are right now? And that, oh, that little pandemic that got in the way? Like, folks, come on. We are not nearly as dumb as you need us to be to vote for Joe Biden. At least I sure as heck not. I'm speaking for myself here, but we see what's going on here. And if you want to look at the numbers right now and not factor in the pandemic, look at the arc here. Look at the economy where it was, where the president built this economy up. COVID hits, and look at how much it has come back. We know what's happening. More reaction to this with Chad when we come back. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Just got a post here. It says, Annie, any chance of Annie Fry Show merch by Christmas? I made a list for Santa, and that is on the list. I want to do that so badly. I need a partner in that. I need somebody who can help us from a printing standpoint do that. Obviously, COVID has hit a lot of businesses and companies really, really hard. But if I could work in conjunction with a printer somewhere, I would be happy to create. I have a lot of ideas floating around in my head, and we have had t-shirts made before, and we could do those again. So if there's anybody out there who is a printer or has a hookup for something like that, can you please message the Facebook show, and we will work on stuff like that. I've got a lot of ideas, and that was something that before we all went home, that we were all working on that, and there was a budget for that, and it's just not on the list of things that are getting done right now. So just a general ask, if you're interested in some kind of partnership for that, please message the Annie Fry Show Facebook page, and you can also just reach out to us on the general Twitter, anywhere you want to. If you want to contact us, there's a million ways to do that. We've got Chad in here in the studio with us, and we're talking about, generally speaking, stuff that Ice Cube has proposed, but also voters and expectations in this political climate about how people are going to vote. And good grief, folks. I mean, if you're looking at the dissemination of information right now, Chad, I'm really curious to what you think about this, because it's nice to be able to have young folks on here younger folks on here who can speak to this, because there's a generational gap in social media and how people understand what works. I know that you're big on social media as well. What is your thought when you see how Twitter and Facebook are handling the Hunter Biden story. Now, Hunter Biden, you know, I'm not talking specifically about that scandal because it bred into this other scandal, which is the idea that Twitter said, no, you're not going to share that story.
That doesn't exist.
I mean, good grief. I don't have enough time in a 3-hour show to list off all of the other things that have been spread around Twitter that were obtained by illegal means, like Trump's tax returns, among many other things. You know, the Melania tapes, that big story that came out where she was saying, like, they wanted the end story there to be that Melania Trump hates Christmas. That didn't stick very much. But that was something that was secretly recorded. They didn't stop anything like that. And that's just peanuts compared to the years and years of stuff that's been spread around. This big story gets put out there by Hunter Biden, and there's no challenge to the truth of it, the veracity of it. And Twitter says, no, you're not going to share it. I mean, being a millennial, as we all are here, does it concern you that big tech is out there and they have such power in what does get covered and what doesn't get covered?
It does concern me because I've seen so many people get banned from Facebook and Twitter. My chapter even got their page snatched down for God knows what reason. They won't even give us a reason why. It's just gone. And then, like, they don't give you a notice. They just take your page down and you try to log in. And it's like, it doesn't exist anymore. So sad for you. And then, like, even one of the guys that is a promoter, a sponsor for the Second Amendment Radio, a few of those guys have been snatched down before, just because one guy was a political joke that he posted years ago that came back up in his memories, and they snatched him down for that. There's a gun store, supply store that's had everything snatched down, from the employees' personal pages to the store's page to even their PayPal account. Snatched down just because they're not going with what Facebook and Twitter deems as their political side, I guess. It's kind of frustrating to me. Luckily, I haven't been banned yet. I wouldn't doubt that
there's
it's
still
coming
time,
soon.
Chad. Just make it worth your time.
What kind of damage does that do to people our age who solely or heavily just rely on social media for news? What kind of damage does it do whenever there are people that are conservatives that are being blocked, that are being banned? And then whenever it gets brought to light, it's told as a conspiracy theory. I feel like it's very, very harmful for people that might not know too much about politics and are only getting it from one side.
Yeah, I definitely believe that it's gonna create the narrative of, okay, this is the only party that we see. This is the only party, you know, the don't ask, don't tell. We live in that. And this is what I see, so this is what's true.
So you think people our age are just going to accept that and then move on?
A lot of the people our age don't really care. Unfortunately, they don't really care. They just going with the party that their grandparents voted for, and which is, I tell people not to do that all the time, because especially like we can go back to the black voting. We were Republicans way before we were Democrats. Well, I'm not a Democrat, but but the Democratic vote only switched here recently. I wouldn't even say it's been 30 to 40 years where black people weren't voting heavily Republican. So I think people need to do their research entirely. But unfortunately, Twitter is news. Twitter is the news because, I mean, everything hits Twitter first. Mm-hmm. That's why, like, I was removed from Twitter and I was like, oh, I'm getting stuff on Facebook. And it was like 2 and 3 days late. I was like, oh, I better get back on Twitter,
yeah,
so I can be up to date.
Mm-hmm. Chad, let me ask you a question. I hear you talking about party affiliation and stuff like that. But I also, I've heard you talk about your policy positions quite a bit. You seem to lean further conservative than you do progressive, but there still seems to be a hesitancy to identify as Republican. Is that the case, or am I reading you wrong?
There are sometimes a little hesitancies there. I kind of tread the line mostly, and just vote for whoever I feel like is the best candidate at the time, because I've seen some Republican candidates that are terrible, just like I've seen Democratic candidates that are terrible. So therefore, I kind of like, I hold my vote for ransom almost, because you almost have to in this day and age.
It's as if you're using your head to make the decision each and every time, which is what any politician doesn't want you to do.
Exactly.
To think about the issue and to not be a shoo-in vote for either party or for any specific issue. Chad, real quick before we go here, how old are you? You're 28.
I'm 28.
28? Okay. So, Katie, you're 28 too, right?
November. Give me some time.
November
is when
I'm...
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I'm just advancing the age of everybody here. What do you think? I do believe that you are at one of those pivotal ages where there's what you've always heard. And this happens to people who are raised in Republican houses and people who are raised in Democrat houses. You know, you are what your parents are for the most part until you start experiencing the other end of those things and those decisions. And then you go, but wait a second. And then you think for yourself. And sometimes that reaffirms how you were raised. Sometimes it makes you drastically go, wait, I think you've been seeing this all wrong. What do you think it is? Somebody, you know, your fellow late 20s, maybe early 30s, folks that are out there who are, you know, they're working with mortgages and they've maybe got a kid or two, or maybe they're in a committed relationship and they want to elevate themselves to that next part of your life. What issues are the key issues that cause people to maybe, you know, put their finger on their chin and go, you know, I don't know if I've been looking at this, or maybe I have. It's not, maybe they've been right based on the information they had, but they realize they have not seen the full picture and they've got this extra info that is coloring more of the picture for them to maybe make an alternative decision. What are those issues that you find to be the most important to you and potentially your peers?
So to me, the most important issues to me is like, okay, I want to be a business owner. I already have my own businesses and I see how they're flourishing. I see all the opportunities that have been provided in the last few years. And I also see on the opposing side is, okay, like I remember when I first started with, when we were on the other side of, on the other side.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We were talking about, I was talking to some Democratic parties and it was me and Chris Arps. We were just talking political parties. And the first thing they were saying was, oh, we got the union. We got these warehouse jobs and things like that. And I was just like, I was kind of appalled because it was like, okay, so where is the independence? Where is the, okay, you don't have to work for somebody your entire life and then retire and then have to go back to work because you can't afford to retire. They didn't have the answers for that. And I was kind of sad that I kind of stumped them when I asked those questions because I like these women a lot, but I just can't fold for what used to be a good idea. Like they tell me, like my grandparents joined the union, but I realized my grandparents joined the union because they couldn't find a job because slavery was just ending. Like that's how old my grandparents were. not to laugh it off, but that's what I had to realize, and
that's
I had to realize my grandparents were never going to be business owners because they didn't have that opportunity. And I realized that I did and I do. So I don't feel like I have to just go with the flow of things. And when I talk to a lot of other people, besides the financial freedoms and things like that, they're worried about healthcare. And don't let me break down all the healthcare issues that I see now. A lot of doctors have turned into pill pushers and things like that. And they're like, why? I was like, well, why do you think? The Affordable Health Care Act that came across the table that made doctors like public defenders. They're overworked and underpaid now. And he's like, how can you, a doctor be underpaid? Well, look how many patients they have to see in a day now because of, oh, we're going to give you this health care that's affordable. In our reality, it's not affordable unless you don't work, unless you don't have a two-family household and things of that nature. Like, I remember I tried to sign up for it and I was going to pay more for Obamacare than I was going to pay for independent insurance. I was like, yeah, no, I can't do that.
Chad, let me ask you a quick question before we wrap. And I was going to wrap before this, but I just have to ask this. You talked about your grandparents not being able to be business owners because of the time that they were around was so close in proximity to the time of actual slavery. And you said, you know, you have the opportunity. They didn't have that opportunity. Are you proud of this country for the amount of progress that they have made thus far in this amount of time, in the span of, you know, those three generations, regardless of progress that is yet needed? Not to say that the job is done, but is that a point of American pride for you when you look at that, that change has been made? Or is that something that makes you feel sad? What's your reaction to knowing that you in this country, two generations removed from your grandparents, who couldn't have that shot because of how close they were to the time where we actually did have slaves?
It's honestly a bittersweet emotion, quite honestly, just on the fact that I have to realize, like, this is something that they actually did grow through. This is something that still affects our families till to this day, by mental mindsets and of like holding you back because you don't believe that you can do certain things. So it's a bittersweet. I will say America does have a lot further to go when it comes to, you know, like these type of issues. But I do see progress. I won't ignore the progress at all.
I love it. Chad, so many people commenting right now that they love your conversation. We're actually getting text messages from people saying Chad is great and we love hearing him. Your perspective is an important one. We're glad we can include it on the show. We look forward to doing that again next week. Each Monday at 2 o'clock, we talk with Chad. We're going to take a quick break. We'll wrap up the show here. The president is speaking at what I assume is his first rally today. Does he have two today, maybe?
Yeah, he
does
two.
Have two, yeah.
Just two? Oh,
Just
what's
two.
Joe Biden doing? He's eating two meals with two naps. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll wrap this up before we hand it over to the Dave Glover Show, who is venturing bravely and boldly into their 21st year on the radio. Pretty cool stuff. That was an exciting show last week, Friday, celebrating their 20th anniversary and also simultaneously the 20th anniversary of this radio station. Pretty cool stuff. We'll be back in a minute. Never. I'm trying to look at this sound sheet that I have here to see if we missed covering any of these stories. I feel like we kind of did it all today.
I think we did.
Yeah, we could just pack it up here and
see you guys later.
See ya.
21st year of the DGS is now expanded show. It's now 4 hours and 13 minutes. Come on in. That was a pretty cool show. Did you guys get to listen to it last week?
Yes.
Yeah, I heard most of it. It was good.
Yeah, it was cool. About 2 hours of it.
Lots of voices over the course of the years participated in that to wish the DGS a happy 20th. I thought that was pretty neat. Going into Thursday, which is the debate, apparently the Trump campaign is asking the debate commission to focus more on foreign policy, regarding, because the questions, or the topics, I should say, the categories of discussion have been posted. They want more of the conversation to exist around foreign policy. I wonder why that is.
I know why you're suggesting that it is, but it's also a point that nobody thought was going to be a Trump strength. I mean, peace in the Middle East, that's a huge talking point for Trump, and I can see why they would want to avoid it.
Not initially. Alan on our Facebook Live says, I like watching Annie's show better than listening because Annie has awesome facial expressions and they say a lot. Do you know how long in my lifetime I've been hearing that from people? That my face says more? Like, what does it mean to be a radio broadcaster and have a face that says more than my mouth? I don't know. Is that a compliment?
It means you're cautious with what you say.
Yeah.
You do have cautious. A heavy filter. I will say that.
I do.
Yeah.
There's a value in taking the high road and making sure that you're in command of all of the words that you say. And inevitably, the one time I choose to not go that route or it gets the best of me is probably what will end me.
You know what, though? You can tell that's what's fun about watching you. I mean, I'm sitting here watching you every day because we're talking, but
it's the creepiest thing you've ever
yeah,
said.
Yeah, I know. Is that
it's
I can tell when you're
evening.
Like, I'm going to hold back right now. I'm going to say just X, Y, and not Z. And you can see it on your face. And that's probably what that listener was saying.
We'll be broadcasting live from our basement, my basement, again on Thursday. And I am curious, both of you, tell me what you think is going to happen. Katie, the debate on Thursday, Joe Biden is not going to be in public until that debate. Donald Trump right now is giving his first of two rallies today. Where is he? He's in Arizona. That's Arizona. Right. They're both in Arizona. Katie, what do you expect? What's your prediction?
I really hope that Trump can just zip it when he needs
There's
to zip it.
There's a huge difference between what you hope and what you expect.
I know. What I expect will be that it will be better than the last time. Because I think that Trump and Biden, I think Trump and Biden are listening to their coaches, are listening to the public, and all of us were like, we need something, especially because this is going to be the last debate. So we are all saying we need something better than what we witnessed the first time. I think that they're going to listen to that. What I really, really want in my heart, and I really hope this works out, is for Trump to pull it in a little bit, take a breath, and allow Joe Biden to elaborate on the things that he needs to elaborate on and let him make a fool of himself if that's the right, you know, let him speak. If he has something to say, take a step back and let him explain himself. And that will prove more to all of us than anything that Trump could have ever offered.
There are so many times in this last debate where the opportunity to do exactly that was Donald Trump's, you know, tripping all over the payoff, which was he had great questions for Joe Biden to answer, but instead they tried to suck up the most oxygen in the room. Trump certainly did, and ask the question and then just be silent. If you are using 8 seconds of silence, which is a painfully, painfully long time to sit and wait for someone to answer a question, if it's a straight and pointed question to Joe Biden and you sit and wait for an answer that he has to give without shouting at one another, what's the answer that Joe Biden's going to give? If it's about Hunter Biden, what if it's about, do you or don't you support the Green New Deal? Because you've said one thing and your website says another. Do you support the Green New Deal? You sit and you wait, and Joe Biden has to fill that space with something, and his answer is what Americans are waiting for. You're so right, Katie. Let Joe Biden trip himself up instead of, you know, this constant tangled mess where you're tripping all over everybody all together at the same time, and it's just going to be a mess. Go ahead, Ryan. What do you think?
Well, it's such a bad strategic move for Joe Biden to call a lid this week. because he's behind
the
eight ball
right now.
You see
the face I'm giving you right now?
Yeah, I see that look. I saw the look you were given while you were waiting, and nobody else saw that unless mm-hmm. you were watching online.
I bet people could hear that look I just gave you.
You really could. He needs to be out in front of this thing, or it's going to control the narrative for the rest of the election. And we know now we're not going to hear from him for 4 days. He hasn't been great at getting out in front of things in general. The media does it for him. So I guess you could say, well, who cares? You know, they'll take care of him anyway. But he's losing this battle. And if it gets worse, it's not going to be pretty. And then Thursday night's going to be very ugly, whether Donald Trump steps back or not.
Check out this video if you're watching us on the live, and I'll explain it to you for you folks who are listening on the radio. This is the president's tweet here as he is flying and landing in Prescott, Arizona. It's just a 9-second clip, but from the airplane, you can see people here who are waiting outside the airport. I'm going to freeze it here for a second. It's massive. This means something, folks. There are two rallies taking place in Arizona, and it is a packed house. And they'll show you, like, you can see the fact that these lines, there are people who stand in line all day, and they wrap around forever. And they're people who aren't actually even going to get into the actual event. And they want to see this president. That has to mean something. I'll tell you what, though. You know, Red Mask Lady, have you seen how much effort was put into, like, oh, she's a paid, she was paid to be there by the Trump administration and all this stuff? Let me ask you a question. The first debate moderator, Chris Wallace, he is, from what I understand, is he a registered Democrat? I've seen that. I've seen that so much that I almost just said it to be fact. I'm going to say that I've heard it, but I don't know it to be true. But he absolutely has no love for this president. And he was very generous to Joe Biden in that. He has known Democrat ties. The moderator of the second debate lied about tweeting Scaramucci about something who is, like, ground zero for Trump hate.
Dummy.
He said he didn't do it because he didn't want to seem as though he was biased. Well, it turns out he was so aware of how biased it seemed that he lied about it.
Dumb.
And then got caught real fast.
The vice president moderator, who we all thought was pretty good, you know, she's writing a biography right now for Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah.
I think she did a good job. I don't want to take away from what she did. And I know some other people don't like it, but I think they're predisposed to not liking these moderators. And then the debate moderator for this upcoming one has documented strong Democrat ties. Everybody is so obsessed with how Red Mask Lady even got into an NBC debate performance because she nodded with the president and they like doxed her that night and they tried to expose her for what she was. How dare she be a Trump supporter? She was in that audience and she was a Republican. How did that even happen? The debaters are all Democrats and they're all working with the highest level Democrats they are. Why does nobody care about this stuff? I mean, it's just evidence, more further evidence of how lopsided this whole game is. The deck is stacked and we all know it is. That's why it's so frustrating, isn't it? Don't you know it eats at you, it grates at you because it's an unfair fight. Still have to win it, folks. And they got 15 days left to do it. Stick with us each day, noon to 3, and we will continue to cover this, and the DGS takes over now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.